Thanks for joining us. This is Norberto Santana Jr. I'm the publisher for Voice of OC here in Orange County, California. We're Orange County's only nonprofit newsroom. This is our weekly podcast on OC. This week, I'm joined with Carla Vargas, the Chief Operating Officer for the United Way of Orange County. This past month, the United Way came out and announced a very ambitious plan to essentially take two on ending homelessness in Orange County. We came off of a 10-year plan in Orange County to end homelessness that didn't seem to work very well. We had a large population of people at the riverbed in Orange County that were recently evicted. The United Way in Orange County has stepped up along with a pretty interesting coalition of 40 business leaders from throughout our region to basically step up in a very sort of frank manner and kind of look at mistakes of the past, things that have worked, things that haven't worked, and it sounds like we have a very business-like approach moving forward on attacking the issue of homelessness. Carla, thanks for joining us. As always, we appreciate the United Way and your efforts in Orange County and your ability to engage as well.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. And we did launch United End Homelessness. And to give you a little bit of background on that, the United Way here in Orange County in 2014 launched a new 10-year plan called FACE 2024, through which we engaged the broad sector of the community to really understand what needed attention in the county and what United Way could help to do to affect change around those issues. And so we set four 10-year goals in the areas of education, to cut the high school dropout rate in half, health, to reduce childhood obesity, income, to reduce family financial stability, and for the first time, United Way adopted housing as an issue that we wanted to pay attention to and to help to tackle. So there's been an evolution of our role in the issue since then. Our initial goal was to cut the percentage of homeless and unstably housed children in half. So we were focused on children that are known as McKinney-Vento children. They are surveyed within the schools as being either homeless or unstably housed, doubled or tripled up, living in cars, living in motels, issues that you hear about often. But in addressing the issues of those children, we also learned through a pretty robust engagement process with leaders in the housing issue and the homelessness issue that there are a lot of infrastructure issues in the county that still needed to be addressed in order to even be able to touch the goal that we had set for ourselves as a United Way and for the community. And so in doing so, there were several things that we tackled, and they've all culminated in United End Homelessness. I'm happy to give you a little bit more of the backstory on that, but we're happy to play a role at this point in time after having helped to create a backbone organization to help with the data, which is how 211 Orange County evolved. Our former CEO actually helped to broker the merger of two organizations to create 211 Orange County, started the dialogue on the coordinated entry system for the community. Both he and I have served on the Commission on Homelessness, so we've been very at the forefront of hearing and seeing what's been going on in the community and felt that this is the time for United Way to help to step forward, to engage the broader community, knowing that no one entity can really tackle this issue alone, and knowing that we as a United Way have access and opportunity to engage a larger sector of the community around the issue. And so that brings us to today.
What's your sense of what you've learned over the years? I mean, one thing that here in Orange County, which is largely seen as a conservative area or jurisdiction by elected officials, but at the same time, homelessness is everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's in LA, it's up in Northern California, it's in San Diego. What have you learned with your colleagues?
Yeah, I mean, some of the elements that we've seen in communities that have been successful at tackling homelessness is that, you know, it's not a government issue alone. It's not any one city issue alone. It's not any one incredibly talented nonprofit's issue alone. And what we've learned is that communities where homelessness has been tackled effectively is it's been a real collaboration that includes the corporate sector, the captains of industry in that community who are really paying attention to and looking at the issue that can help to move and motivate resources around the issue, not just dollars, but other types of resources, partnerships between county entities, partnerships between the nonprofits, and really having more of a collective impact type of model to help to drive that work forward. We've also seen that what's been successful in other communities is there's a really shared understanding of what the numbers are. How many homeless do we have? Where are they? What are their unique needs of each one of those population segments? And how can we tackle each one of those population segments separately in order to really address their needs uniquely? You know, we have, according to our last point in time count, 4,800 people who were homeless in Orange County when we did the point in time count last January. But every one of those homeless people has a different story. You know, it could be a mother with a child. It could be someone who was in the riverbed. It could be someone who, you know, is on the side of the street in Aliso Viejo. So every homeless person has a different story. And so we can't tackle it all as a one size fits all.
One thing that I think really changed the situation here in Orange County was earlier this year, you all partnered with UCI. And you came out with this study that, I mean, here in Orange County, we hear it a lot, which is you know, we don't want to enable these people. It's a sunny jurisdiction. If we provide services, we might end up with every homeless person in America here. Mm-hmm. You guys did this amazing study that basically started to calculate it and said, you're already spending nearly $300 million a year, mainly on law enforcement, to move people around. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that story, how you guys put it together, and also how it changed the situation.
Yeah, that is something that we're very excited about having been able to bring to bear for the community, establishing a cost study of what the real cost of homelessness was to our community here in Orange County was one of the seminal recommendations of the group that we pulled together that helped us to develop housing as an area of focus and the goal that we created. And we knew that in order to really be able to get attention around solutions, we needed to be able to articulate the cost that it was having to our community. And so we engaged with UCI. We tackled the challenge together. We pulled together an advisory committee of people who have been working in the field for several years, the county, the Association of California Cities, Orange County. And for the first time, because the study had been intended previously in Orange County, we were actually able to get access to the data that was needed to be able to develop that total cost. So the study was conducted in through two kind of key methods that were then combined. One in gathering costs from various cost centers in the community, including the county itself, all the municipalities in the county, all the cities, as well as hospitals and the nonprofit community. And then we also engaged in over 200 surveys that research students from UCI, working with the professors in the School of Social Sciences, conducted throughout the county. Again, people who are homeless in various parts of the county and various conditions of homelessness to understand what it is that caused them to be homeless, what their situations were, how long they've been homeless, and, you know, who really they were. And we had a lot of ahas that came out of that.
One thing you mentioned to me early on was that the Association of California Cities here in Orange County was able to give you information, access it in a way that hadn't been done before. Tell me about that partnership and kind of where what happened and where it's going.
It's been a tremendous partnership. Heather Strotman, who is a fabulous leader for this county, had just joined the ACCOC as their CEO as we were beginning this process of the cost study. And she came on board, and the ACCOC had just started its own coalition committee around the issue of homelessness to really start to learn about how cities can address the issue. And she took that on and really helped us to work with the municipalities when the UCI researchers were not getting responses in terms of the data. She would really work with them to get them to respond. And so I believe we ended up having 21 out of our 34 cities reporting, which was phenomenal. We got all the data from the county, which was terrific. The cities where we did not get data, the smart researchers had a way to impute the cost to be able to determine that. And the ACCOC has been a really strong partner with us ever since then. And we've partnered on several efforts since then in order to help to address this issue collectively and together.
So tell me about the coalition that comes together with these business leaders, because in all of the different studies that we keep seeing in the jurisdictions where they're having success, San Antonio, Utah, it seems like there's this idea of rapid rehousing or housing first. Mm-hmm. And that seems like something that here in Orange County we've stumbled with for a while. What's your sense of the challenge there and how you and ACCOC are tackling it?
Well, I'll share, you know, the key recommendations of the cost study are what we are now trying to actualize through United End Homelessness and through all the coalition building that's taken place since then. And the recommendations were developed in partnership with the ACCOC, with, you know, leaders from the county, with leaders from various nonprofits. And they include five key recommendations, one of which is to house those that are most vulnerable first and to be able to create some very specific numeric goals as to who we're going to house first and what types of housing and to really kind of move through that progression. Housing First has been something that has been adhered to by several nonprofits here in the county. United Way has actually shifted its funding when we shifted towards our FACE 2024 plan and having a focus on housing from funding shelters to funding rapid rehousing and the Housing First model. It's a matter of, at this point in time, bringing that to scale and bringing that to scale for really anyone who's in a situation of homelessness. To house them first, provide them the wraparound services that they may need to get them to a place of stability.
So let's talk about the challenge of housing. Here in Orange County, and I wouldn't say we're alone in not stepping up to our affordable housing responsibilities, by at least by the state codes, but what's the gap? What are the challenges and how do we get there?
Yeah, there's been a great dialogue that's taken place over the past month and a half, 2 months, with various community leaders, both from the private sector, public sector, ACCOC, United Way, HomeAid, former chair of the commission, several phenomenal nonprofit leaders, through which a goal and a target has been set that this community needs 2,700 permanent supportive housing units. These are units for individuals who are chronically homeless, who have a disability, who are not able to help themselves or to house themselves. They're the ones that we indicated in recommendation 4 of our cost study that we need to prioritize the populations that need to be housed first, which include the top 10% of the chronically homeless in Orange County. Our cost study show, just to give you some perspective, that the top 10% of those that are most costly to our community are costing our community $400,000 or more on an annual basis. And so those are the ones that we want to really prioritize to get housed first. And it's been deduced through some good analysis that's been done, that's been agreed to, that we do need to focus on building 2,700 new permanent supportive housing units over the next 5 to 7 years. That will take some time. And so we know that in the meantime, one of the things that United Way is excited about through our United End of Homelessness effort is we feel and believe that there's a really strong opportunity to engage the private market in a different way to help to engage private market apartment units, for example, that may not be occupied or that may be owned by owners who are willing to help in this way to make them available for permanent supportive housing with a nonprofit that can manage it really, really well, as has been already done by nonprofits locally. And so we've been engaging with organizations like the Apartment Association of Orange County, who is very hopeful, and we're going to be engaging in a planning process with them in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, to see what type of goals we might be able to set there in terms of engaging private market units. And so that can be something that they're available, they're here. How can we develop a plan to engage those while we're looking at the longer-term plan of the 2,700 permanent supportive housing units? So there's a lot of momentum going on right now. Public sector, private sector, I think a lot of collaboration opportunity is ahead, and we're feeling very hopeful.
Now, we recently published a story about there's almost $200 million in reserves here in Orange County at the county that can potentially be used towards affordable housing. You've also talked about with Bill Cherimina, who I know, about 50 legacy families. I love that idea of a legacy family stepping up to essentially address something that's systemic and that government hasn't seemed to be able to attack so far or solve. Tell me about that private sector effort, those families. I mean, who steps up to give $100 million.
Bill Charmin is a phenomenal community leader at North Orange County. He's actually joined our leadership council and will be a part of our executive committee for it. And he is incredibly creative and is willing to harness the private sector in a way that never has been harnessed before. And that's including through this number of legacy families that he's willing to engage, and we're going to work with him on that. Potentially, again, the private market apartment units, potentially motels as well. There's some opportunities for some real innovative thinking. And I think it goes to show that when you get a new set of people in a room that really can think completely differently than might have been thought about before, some really unique outcomes can come out of that.
What is different in a sense? I mean, and you know, some of our readers reached out to us and said, oh boy, the United Way, I mean, this is the same group that did the End Homelessness Plan, and many of the same leaders that were on that plan or on this plan, and oh boy, it's just a lot of the same old people that have great goals and aspirations, but they're really not going to solve it, just like we didn't before. Yeah. What do you say to those people that will say, what's different about this process?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say that the 10-year plan to end homelessness achieved quite a bit, actually, for our community. It might not have ended homelessness, but it certainly set into play the infrastructure and the foundation that was needed for us to now take this next step. So the 10-year plan helped establish the goals to create the permanent shelter that we now have. It helped to create the goals for the coordinated entry system, having one way that people can get into housing. And so it really helped lay the infrastructure for where we can now jump off on a go-forward basis.
I guess that's one way to look at it.
That we can jump off on a go-forward basis to, I think, engage the community in a broader way. And, you know, what we have found is that having a really robust private and public sector partnership is the special sauce that makes this successful. We saw that with our friends from Orlando that were visiting with us. We've seen that with other communities that we've studied. And we're just so excited that over the past 3-4 months since November, we've been holding several small sessions with all the business leaders that you saw on the screen and that you put in your article at our event last week. And they are all ready to step forward and be a part of a solution together. And I don't know that that happened previously. And I don't know that it needed to happen previously at that point in time, because it was really more of a foundational effort. And so I think now the fact that we've had such visibility with homelessness. We've gotten the attention of, you know, a different sector of our community around the issue. And now it's time to see what we can come up with. If we can set the targeted goals and bring everyone around them and make some things happen, we can solve this. We can solve this.
You know, I noticed that at the rollout that you had Pastor Rick Warren, something that there has historically been some, not tension, but maybe a difference of opinion that many in the religious community, like the rescue mission, has basically said a lot of these people with drug problems, you know, rapid rehousing is not the first thing to do. In the religious community, there was this idea that people on the street kind of needed to hit rock bottom before they would address the problems that maybe led them to the street. And there was a difference of opinion there. And I wonder whether that might have impacted some municipal leaders to maybe not jump into, you know, a secular plan to kind of house people with drug issues and other issues. It seems like this way you dealt with that right away. You had a message from Rick Warren talking about to those in the religious community that this idea of housing first does actually make sense.
Yeah.
Tell me about that and how'd you get them in?
I mean, you know, we heard something really different than that. The day before we had the big launch at UCI, we had almost 200 faith leaders together in a room with the pastor from Orlando to talk about this issue. And they all are of the belief from what we heard, articulated very, very strongly that, you know, who are we if we don't help the least among us or those who are suffering the most? And we heard resounding support for coming together and helping, and we heard a hunger for direction as to how to do it in a more cohesive and collaborative way. So we heard very, very strong support for it, to be frank.
So where do we go from here?
Yes, we're moving quickly. We're rolling up our sleeves. What's happening next is we're bringing together the Leadership Council group that we've recruited. They're going to be looking at some of the numbers with us, some data with us, hopefully setting some short-term goals for low-hanging fruit, like some of that private sector engagement that I shared with you, while we see and understand some of the public sector planning that's taking place at the same time right now and determine how we can come up alongside them. So that's where we are now. We'll be bringing the group together towards the end of this month, determining, like I said, hopefully some short-term goals from there. Our plan is to report quarterly as to the progress of the overall collaborative effort, and I'm happy to come back and share progress with you as we go along.
You know, one of the things that I'm curious about is housing. How do you think you will attack or deal with the siting of housing? That's where everything always seems to hit the toughest thing when you go to do that permanent supportive housing.
Right.
What do you think? And obviously, you're not the county CEO
No, actually, I mean, I can speak to that in part. I mean, the effort that you talked about earlier, the 2,700 units, that plan that ACCOC's helped to devise, I mean, they've identified a targeted number of units that each city, presumably based upon their population, could take responsibility for. And the challenge that was thrown out at a meeting that we were at with all the city leaders is, give us your sites. You know, tell us your sites where you can do this. Give us someone who on your city staff who will work with us on it, and we'll plow forward together. And as I understand it, last I heard, at least 16 cities had already provided both their staff people who would be willing to work with them on the process and starting to think about their sites. So,
now, what do you think happens with engagement? Because, for example, we had SP2 zones that were adopted by the state.
Right.
Essentially the same process.
Those
cities
can be used.
Well, but here's what happened. When the county complains bitterly about that when they went into Santa Ana, found a site that was in that zone, the minute that neighbors started to kind of ask some questions.
Right.
One of the things we see from a news perspective a lot of times is a lack of engagement of those communities about what commitments is government ready to do for a special population that may have an impact on their area.
Right.
And that seems to me, at least, where it always breaks down. Is there a plan to sort of engage communities, not just city leaders, around where these things are going to be and how will they be managed?
What we heard at that meeting, which this meeting, again, like I'm saying, with the city leaders, we were talking about the 2,700 units and each city taking their part. What we heard at that meeting was a resounding yes from the city leadership that they felt that they could each take on the number of units that were identified, because they weren't doing it alone, right? Because I think part of what the city leaders heard in opposition from their constituents many times was, well, if we do this, then all the people from that city are going to come over here, and that's not fair. But the notion of every city taking a piece, then they can talk to their constituents and have their constituents understand everyone is taking a piece. It's not going to be the same issue that you might have thought before. And we're willing, as United Way, to work with the cities and their constituents to, you know, share the facts, change the face of who's homeless. You know, our public awareness awareness campaign we're hoping will really help to do that. You know, three of the key findings of why people are homeless from the cost study were number one, income, number two, lack of housing, number three, a family issue. And so everyone can relate to that. And so I think that there's some real opportunity to, you know, change perceptions. That's something that United Way is willing to help with on the broader basis, also on a targeted basis with city leadership. We're more than willing to do town halls, educational sessions, and as United Way being a neutral, you know, organization without, you know, any real interest in, you know, one city or another or where the homeless go or don't go, other than to a safe home, we're happy to help with that. And there seems to be some interest in that.
Because that always seems to be the critique of city municipal leaders, that engagement, explanation, that doesn't always happen. And that's where a lot of times in these communities you get either a lack of information about what's coming in,
right,
or frankly, not a real commitment from government to help with some of the challenges that will inevitably be part of that process.
Right. Yeah, so that engagement process is key. And I think that, you know, city leadership bringing stakeholders like the United Way, you know, like even the faith community locally who understands the issue and can help to explain the issue now that they're a part of this process with us in terms of changing the perceptions of who is homeless will be key as well.
Homelessness is an issue that's affecting all kinds of different communities. So how is what we're doing here in Orange County different than what's happening in LA?
Well, there's a lot that's been going on in LA. I mean, obviously, they've had some ballot measures that are helping to secure additional revenue to build permanent supportive housing and to get people off the streets, and they're doing that. But I do want to make one clear distinction between our circumstance and LA's circumstance. Our last point-in-time count indicated that we have 4,800 people in Orange County who are homeless. Los Angeles's point-in-time count indicates they have 58,000 people who are homeless. And so the message to me in that is that this is doable. We can tackle this as a community. If we come together, we can tackle this issue.
This last month, we've had an incredible process here. We had a federal judge that almost in a sense became a homeless czar of his own, because there was lawsuits by public law advocates that challenged the county's eviction without a plan to house people or to service them. It landed in federal court, and a federal judge, David Orr Carter, did what I've never seen a judge do before, actually go on the ground, take tours, I mean, almost forced the county to do the right thing here. Did that have an impact in what we're seeing? Do you think that Judge Carter's actions and the fact that he says he's going to stay connected through, does he become a part of this process, or just is it two train tracks that are traveling parallel?
Yeah, I mean, I think clearly it's had an impact. It's gotten a lot of attention, obviously. And I think the judge, what's interesting about what he did is that rather than, you know, force or encourage litigation, he encouraged cooperation. And I think that that's something that we can all jump off from now and hopefully develop some of the longer term solutions that we know are needed beyond the motel vouchers that the county was able to provide.
Well, Carla, thanks again for coming and joining with us and committing to continuing to check in with us. It's certainly been a monumental process. Thanks again for joining us for On OC, Voice of OC's weekly podcast where we jump into quality of life issues throughout Orange County. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes so that from now on you can get the podcast delivered straight to your phone or on your device. And if you get a chance, head over to iTunes and check out some of our other episodes. Tune in for our next episode where we'll dive into the next tough issue impacting Orange County's quality of life.